going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome to Utopia.
Hey everyone, welcome in. It is a Friday edition post draft day one. Day one on Thursday, day two today. Friday edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast. Just finished up our Friday radio show. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to that. If you didn't, you can rewind on the Odyssey app or listen on the podcast. I'm going to share a condensed version of some of my thoughts on the draft yesterday and then what the Texans are doing tonight here on this episode of the podcast. So before we dig into what happened, or for many of you, what didn't happen last night in the NFL draft, an apology for the lack of episodes this week. I did record a mailbag episode that apparently everything looked good technically, and apparently there was no audio to it. So there's video. If you're a lip reader, let me know and I can send you the video and you can read lips and see what I had to say about all your mailbag questions. So my apologies, did an episode, the audio wasn't there. And so that, you know, obviously I didn't have time to do a follow-up and do the same episode over again. What I will say, if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, I'm doing this in the studios here at Sports Radio 610. I wanted to make sure to get this episode out as quickly as possible so that you guys at least have today to internalize some of my thoughts and get some of my predictions for what might happen tonight and over the weekend before it gets obsoleted at 6 p.m. today when the draft starts. So apologies for that. If you send in a mailbag question, and by the way, if you want to send in a mailbag question, HOU mailbag@gmail.com. You can see that at the bottom of the screen there. If you sent me a question that I used that isn't time sensitive, in other words, one that doesn't get obsoleted because the draft has now taken place, then I will make sure to mix it into what will be a jumbo mailbag this week. It'll be basically double the size mailbag. So I want to make it up to you guys for sure. Appreciate you guys sticking with me. And so we've got that. I'll have an episode once the draft is over this weekend on Saturday. Quick reminder for coverage of the draft, Sports Radio 610 tonight on Friday. And then if you're listening to this, you can listen on Saturday. I'll be covering the first 3 hours of the Saturday portion of the draft, day three, which as of right now, the Texans don't have a pick in what will probably be that 3 hours. They don't have a fourth round pick. They don't have a fifth round pick. Nick Caserio made a move yesterday before the draft started that got them some extra sixth and seventh round draft capital. But they've got no fourth nor a fifth round pick as of right now. Now, I think that will change. And that leads us into what happened last night. So I guess my first thing would be condolences if you were at the draft party last night. You endured crowds and standing around, and albeit fun standing around. There is alcohol out there. But I know there were rainstorms as well, that people were running for cover, only to have the 25th pick traded into Friday, traded for the 34th overall pick. I know that got people very upset that were at the draft party. I know that in general, people even who weren't at the draft party are upset that the Texans traded out of that spot, that several players flew off the board, some right in front of them, and that the Texans weren't able to make a deal to secure those players. I would estimate that the ratio of people who were down on what happened yesterday versus people, and I fall into this camp, I'm cool with what happened yesterday. I wanted Matthew Golden really badly. I'm upset that they didn't get Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas, but I'm not upset at Nick or the front office for it. I think that if they liked him, they were trying to get him. They just couldn't consummate a trade. So I think it's probably 75-25 is just my general, like, you know, smell test ballpark on people who are upset. And I understand that. I think if I had to guess, and I hate when people do this to me, like, hey, Sean, I hear what you're thinking. This is why you're thinking it. I don't need people to tell me why I'm thinking something, but I am going to psychoanalyze a little bit. And I do think if you look at the trade itself is fine. Moving back 9 spots from 25 to 34 is fine if you're getting a third this year and a third next year. The math works. The math actually favors the Texans. And when I say the math, I'm talking about the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart. You know, they have the value of every pick in the draft. And I know Nick uses charts like that. He's told me that before. He's told Seth and I that before on our show. I think every GM has their own version that they use. There's several different versions. But the versions that I saw used to evaluate this trade on places like The Athletic and Texans Cap and things like that all said this was a good trade. So I'm fine with that. And I warned you guys. I had said several times on Sports Radio 610 over the last couple of weeks, if you listen, you know this, that my eye on the draft up to 25 until the Texans were picking was going to be on the quarterbacks, because I felt like if Shedeur Sanders started to slide, and especially if the quarterbacks made it past 21 Steelers, like that's the sort of the last stop on the quarterback express there. The expressway was if they didn't take a quarterback, and they didn't, they took Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon. Then if you've got Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, Jalen Milroe, they're all on the board, man, the Texans are sitting in a primo spot to move back in the draft. Like that's where you start to put a for sale sign out in front of your 25th overall pick and start to take some phone calls. Now, my guess is they had taken phone calls, and it sounds like from Nick, they had some of these trades like lined up. If I know Nick, he had talked to Joe Shane and said, look, we might be looking to trade back. If you were looking to move into the first round to get a quarterback, that's who they ended up trading with, what would the deal look like? So they do all kinds of advance work on this stuff. I'm fine with the trade. I actually, once Matthew Golden and Donovan Jackson went off the board, the two picks before the Texans, then I turned to my wife and I said, just trade out. Just bail out, move back. Don't move back too far, but move back to a spot where you can kind of control things on day two, get a couple extra picks, and live to fight another day. I have no problem with that. This draft, all the experts who look at and evaluate these players, for the most part, said that this is a draft where every player between like 20 and 70 are kind of graded similarly. So if that's the case, then loading up on picks in the second and third round makes sense. You know, loading up on the 34th and 58th pick in the second round and then 79, 89, and 99 in the third round, I have no delusion that they're going to use all those picks themselves to get players. I think they'll maybe bundle two of those threes to move up into the second round. I could totally see that happening. Then you're really getting a couple players that are in, you know, three players that are in kind of that sweet spot of that big chunk of players we're talking about. I also think that this trade makes sense. And I don't know if this is part of the motivating factor for Nick Caserio and to a lesser extent, D'Amico Ryans, because this has more to do with contracts and actual on-field play. The Texans are entering an era here where they're about to have some very expensive players on the roster. Good teams deal with this all the time. And so the Texans, fortunately, are turning into a good team. And they're going to have to deal with a quarterback who's getting highly paid. Will Anderson's going to get paid. That's a position that's the salaries are exploding on edge rusher. They've already paid Stingley and Petrie and Nico Collins and Danielle Hunter. There's going to be others. You're going to need a fair amount of cheap labor on this team to be able to handle having all those contracts. So having 5 day 2 picks And then next season, especially, because they picked up an extra three in this deal with the Giants, and they picked up an extra two and a four next year in the Tunsil trade, they've now got a first, 2 seconds, two thirds, and two fourths next year. Again, it's all fluid. Nick Caserio could move around. But again, I think that's why some of this moving around and stockpiling some picks makes some sense. Now, don't get me wrong. Nick was trying to move up as well to try to go get guys, but it seems like, according to his press conference, that he couldn't consummate the deals. My issue would be if I felt like the team didn't have a sense of urgency in moving to go get guys. I feel there was plenty of sense of urgency. Now, I know there's a lot of you out there that feel like all the offensive linemen we liked and heard you and Seth talking about, they're all gone now. And they kind of are. I mean, there were a lot of offensive linemen that went in the first round of this draft. So that is definitely the case, you know. And so is that, you know, would that have been the prudent thing to do, to instead of stockpiling draft capital to get all these swings and get cheap labor on the roster? Would it have made more sense to go up and get an offensive lineman that at least feels like more of a sure thing than the guys they're going to be picking today? Maybe so. It was a big kick in the junk when Tyler Booker went off the board at 12. I tend to think that one of the teams that Jerry Jones claims he was talking to, Jerry Jones claimed, if you missed it, that he had a couple substantive trade talks going into night one of the draft yesterday. If I had to guess, I would guess that the Texans were one of those teams and that they were talking to the Cowboys to move up and get Tyler Booker, who the Cowboys wisely drafted at number 12 to replace Zach Martin. So, again, I guess I'm kind of spitballing here. I'm kind of all over the place, and I apologize about that. But I'm cool with what happened last night. The thing I'm most upset about are the guys that I really wanted on this team in the first round. Matthew Golden, some of the guys that got picked earlier. I would have loved to have had Tyler Booker on this team as well. Even Emeka Obuka would have been fun to take at 25. So I'm upset that I didn't get what I wanted, but I'm not upset at the team for not getting me what I wanted. I don't want them overpaying for guys. These are draft prospects. So it's got to be a really sure thing if I'm going to overpay to get somebody. And how motivated, again, if you're calling Green Bay and you're looking to move up and it's to get Matthew Golden, they just drafted Matthew Golden. Like, how motivated are they going to be to do a deal when they want that exact guy? So again, there's a lot that we don't know, which made this answer from Nick Caserio interesting. And this is a good lead into tonight. Again, the Texans pick 34th as of right now. That's the second pick in this draft, Cleveland on this day of the draft. So we're, you know, the Texans for what's left of the draft, the Texans are picking second overall behind the Cleveland Browns, who are thought to be a possible landing spot for Shedeur Sanders. I don't think Cleveland's going to take Shedeur Sanders there. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I think based on what they did in trading up or trading down and getting all that extra draft capital from the Jags in that flip flop of the second and fifth pick, the Travis Hunter trade, I'll call it. Cleveland seems to be a team that's loading up. There's a better chance that they're fielding calls for teams that may want Shedeur Sanders and they move out of there, and then they live to fight another day with what's a much better quarterback class next year. But back to the Texans, 34th overall, 58th overall, and then the three third-round picks. Nick Caserio said last night, he was asked by, I believe, Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle. He was asked if there were players that you were considering at 25 as opposed to the trade that they made. Are any of the players that you were considering still on the board right now? And Nick very candidly said, yeah, one of them is on the board right now. So if that 33rd pick winds up being a quarterback, because I can assure you quarterback was not the player they were considering. They weren't thinking of drafting Shedeur Sanders or Jalen Milroe at 25. If a quarterback goes there, we'll kind of get a window, and the Texans choose to pick at 34. Then we'll know who that player was. I thought that was a very interesting, candid answer for Nick, and it's one that makes me think that they may be less inclined to trade out of 34 and trade back and pick up more picks with that pick. If a guy who they thought was worth the 25th overall pick, or at least worth having a conversation about, is still available at 34, I would take that guy. What gets interesting is, who is it, right? Who is it? Seth brought up a really good point on the show this morning, which is that it's a guy that was that they had as the 20, you know, worth taking at 25, but they passed on him, would seem to indicate that they thought they could get him with the Giants pick, which would seem to indicate that it's one of those positions that people value players on their big board a certain way, but they know that the league wide, that position isn't valued. I say all this to say, Seth thought it might be Travion Henderson of Ohio State, who's the top running back on the board right now, in most experts' opinion. If they drafted a running back at 34 with that pick, how would people feel? I think, look, Travion Henderson's a really exciting player. You know he's going to come with the rubber stamp from C.J. Stroud, the endorsement of C.J. Stroud. I think there are certain positions, and I think running back is one of them, but I definitely think edge rusher, cornerback, and safety for sure, and maybe even linebacker. Honestly, if I'm probably anything on the defensive side of the ball, but especially those three, safety, corner, and edge rusher. If the Texans use the 34th pick on that, I think whatever the 75% that were upset were feeling yesterday is going to get compounded. There's going to be a feel. I think there's a great sense of urgency that people are feeling right now to do something with the offensive line, and I think they will, and I think they're going to do it in the second round of this draft. It's not going to be a sexy name that you've heard before, but and I understand, too, the skepticism of the Texans and Nick Caserio in evaluations along the offensive line. I understand that. There's a reason why they've had to tear it all down. They made bad evaluations the first time around. So I understand that trepidation. I really do. I'm just excited for 5 picks tonight. Whatever it is the Texans decide to do, there's a chance they make a trade this afternoon before the draft even starts back up. So here are the players that I am hoping. I've got 5 names I'm hoping they are targeting with.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
The 34th overall pick. Jonah Savonea, or however you pronounce his name, the guard from Arizona, who's been mocked to the Texans quite a bit at 58 in some mock drafts. But I've seen him go higher than that in other mock drafts. I would be cool with them taking him there. He's an interior offensive lineman. Ariante Ursary is a tackle from Minnesota who is a very good player. If they chose to go that route, I don't know if he can bump inside and play guard. But again, those are two of the better offensive linemen that are still left on the board and that you could take with that 34th pick, or at least a pick nearby. You know, maybe they trade back from 34 to 40 or something like that a little bit. You know, maybe a team that's hungry for a quarterback needs to move up 5 or 6 spots and you pick up an extra 4th and 5th to do that, which would be great. Especially for me tomorrow doing 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with no picks in the 4th and 5th round right now. Now, I'm doing it with John Harris, that show. And if there's anybody I can do a draft show with where we don't have any picks, it's John Harris. He's amazing. So the two offensive linemen, and then I've got one each at 3 more positions. These are all on the offensive side of the ball. And I did not set out to do that. I just jotted down the 5 names that you know, move the needle the most for me, and it just so happens they're all on the offensive side of the ball. But I would say Trey Hendrickson from Ohio State, who we just talked about. Jaden Higgins, the wide receiver from Iowa State, who's kind of a Nico Collins clone, who is easily thought of to be the best receiver on the board right now. Him along with Luther Burden, but Luther Burden's got some non-swarmy elements to him that make me a little nervous. He's thought to be a guy who's good on Sundays, but maybe not so great the other 6 days, which I know some of you are saying, like, who gives a fuck about the other 6 days if he's good on Sunday? I will tell you who, D'Amico Ryans. That's who. He cares about that stuff. And then Mason Taylor, the tight end. I've probably been more kind of on a soapbox to draft a tight end than most people have, and the two best ones are gone, and that'll lead us into another topic here in a second. Tyler Warren going to the Indianapolis Colts at 14. But Mason Taylor, LSU, son of Jason Taylor, the Hall of Fame defensive end. I think tight end is a position of need on this team. I know they've got tight ends under contract. I don't know that any of them are good. And so being under contract is different than having good players under contract. I like Cade Stover. I think he's got some more growing to do as a player. Physically, he's fine, but he's only played tight end 3 years now in his entire life. Dalton Schultz really needs a bounce back for me to feel good about him. And then after that, it's Brevin Jordan, who can't stay healthy. Like, tight end, you know, for a GM who says, you know, we don't pay attention to need, we draft best available, Mason Taylor with one of these picks. But I would be, if they drafted any of these guys with the pick that they're starting off with, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with those. So those would be the five. The AFC South, I think, is really interesting. If we're looking at divisions, the AFC South may have had one of the most interesting first rounds by division that there was. By definition, it's interesting because you got the number one overall pick, who's a quarterback, Cam Ward. That'll always be interesting. That will never not be interesting. They have the team that made the biggest, most shocking move in the draft in Jacksonville, moving up three spots to get Travis Hunter. I don't hate the deal. I liked the Will Anderson deal 2 years ago. I think by definition, if you like the Will Anderson trade, then you should like the Travis Hunter trade. The two trades are very similar in terms of what was given up and the value, you know, the value metric on all the picks and everything. And I think the, you know, kind of the mode that the two teams were in, you know, the Jags have a new GM looking to make a splash. The Texans were looking to recalibrate their culture with Will Anderson. So similar reasons, obviously very different football players. Travis Hunter's different from everybody. And then I think Tyler Warren going to the Colts is, in my opinion, the best tight end. I know he wasn't the highest drafted tight end in this draft, but in my opinion, the best tight end in the draft. And then the Texans, who are one of two teams who traded out of the first round. So that's a pretty interesting group. I put up a poll last night, which, it, depending on when you're listening, you can still go vote in it, at Sean T. Pendergast on X. Which of the three rookies, new rookies, drafted in the first round in the AFC South are you most concerned with having to play twice a year for the next several years? Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, or Tyler Warren? Tyler Warren and Travis Hunter were in a dead heat at around 40% apiece. Cam Ward was way back. He was like 16%. Mine's Travis Hunter, probably just because he's the one that concerns me the most. I'll never vote for a quarterback in a poll like that because the bust factor is so high. I thought about Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren's a player I would not have minded the Texans making a big trade up to go get. But Travis Hunter can win games for you and hurt you in so many ways. I'm more than anything, I'm excited about Travis Hunter versus Derek Stingley Jr., Travis Hunter versus Kamari Lassiter, Travis Hunter versus Nico Collins. We're going to get to see all those twice a year, every year, as long as Travis Hunter is good at football. Pretty confident those other three guys on the Texans are going to be good at football. Pretty confident Travis Hunter is too. But, you know, you haven't even put on an NFL uniform yet, young buck. All right? So I thought the AFC South did, if not a good job, very interesting stuff in the AFC South. As far as quickly the other first-rounders go in this draft, the ones that I was like, oh, dang. Like, there they go again, that team. I'm pulling up the first round here, so I apologize. As I just page down, The Raiders getting Ashton Jeanty, I like that. He had been mocked off of them for a while here, but mocked back onto them. I thought Kelvin Banks getting drafted to the Saints. That, for me as a Texan fan, I was a little bit relieved because I didn't really want to give up a ton to move up and get Kelvin Banks, and the reports were that the Texans were willing to do that. I think that Saints taking is a good player. I think the Saints taking him at 9 saved the Texans from maybe overpaying for Kelvin Banks Jr. I also love the way his baby threw up the second it was announced he was getting drafted to the New Orleans Saints. Paging down, you guys know how I feel about Tyler Booker. I'm happy for Anthony Weaver in Miami getting Kenneth Grant, the defensive lineman there. I thought that was a good pick. That's a guy Seth and I have talked quite a bit about. The one big one for me, other than the ones that torpedoed the Texans' chances, I mean, I have a hard time looking at Matthew Golden going to Green Bay 2 picks before the Texans. And, man, just the way that Mark Murphy, I think that's his name, the president of the Packers, the way he announced the pick, where he was like, for the first time since 2002, I'm like, no, don't say it. You're drafting a receiver. The Packers are drafting a wide receiver. No. So that hurts just to look at. The one for me where I'm like, there's a couple actually, but the one from Malachi Starks, the safety for Georgia, going to the Ravens to pair with Kyle Hamilton. That, if you're a fan of any other team in the AFC, that sucks. Malachi Starks can play. Him and Kyle Hamilton. Wow. And then the two offensive linemen that went after the Texans made the trade at 25, Josh Connerly out of Oregon to the Commanders at 29, and then Josh Simmons especially to the Chiefs at 32, that neither of those guys were going to be there possibly at 34 hurts. So the first round was way more pain than pleasure, I would say, given how quickly a lot of the Texans' targets flew off the board. And yet here I am ready for night 2, and I'm excited for all these picks, man. I'm very excited for all these picks, as you should be as well. So hopefully I gave you a little bit of a dashboard. My thoughts on what happened last night, some thoughts on what Caserio had to say, a few thoughts on what happened around the league, and then a few players to keep an eye on for tonight. I'll be back with an episode, if not after tonight's picks, probably more so on Saturday or Sunday, summing up the whole draft. And then again, a quick reminder to, if you want to send me an email, HOU mailbag, you can see it at the bottom of the screen, HOUmailbag@gmail.com. And I would imagine the draft is going to generate a shit ton of emails. So send them to me. I'm going to do a massive jumbo mailbag this week for you guys. It includes some of the questions that wound up in mute mode a couple of days ago. So my apologies for that. I really appreciate everybody, the loyal listeners, their sincere dedication to listening to, downloading, and most importantly, recommending to others this podcast. So I thank you for that very, very much. All right. And a quick reminder, if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast as well. Big thanks to Jared Rowland, my producer, who is going to effort getting this out to you guys ASAP so you can listen to it this afternoon on your ride home or over lunch or however you're listening to it right now. I appreciate you. Enjoy the draft the rest of this weekend and have a great day, everybody.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.